Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 to 46. I invite you to follow along as you turn to pages 899, and it continues to 900. Page 899, Matthew 21, 33 to 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death, and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. Here ends a reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Abundant God, we thank you for the beauty and the richness of your word. We pray that you will open it to our ears and our hearts, our very minds and souls, that we may be transformed by it. That today, whatever message we hear out of this proclamation of the word would be the message you want us to hear. May it change us, and may it begin to transform the world, a place that we live that has been shared with us by you, our Creator, a place that is in need of your love and your hope and your compassion. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The lesson from the Hebrew scriptures intended for this day is from Isaiah 5:1-7, where we read of God's vineyard. There's a theme going on here the last few weeks, and these words jump out at me. "What more was there to do for my vineyard than I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes?" And the gospel from Matthew tells of a landowner who planted a vineyard and leased it to others to tend, which was a rather common practice back then and even today. But the tenants started to think of the vineyard as their own, and when the landowner sent his servants to collect the percentage due to him, the tenants beat him up. They even killed one of them. So the landowner tried again with more servants, and the result was the same. So the landowner sent his son, thinking they would respect him, but they killed him as well, thinking that without an heir, they would naturally inherit the entire vineyard. Those who tended the vineyard did more than cultivate it. They perfected a crop of sour grapes. They were productive, but what they grew was only worth throwing out. Productivity. That's a word much in vogue these days. Any negotiation of a contract between employer and worker seems to have some sort of productivity rider in it. The thinking is that the employees will cover their pay increases, at least in part, through producing more. And today's lesson from Isaiah that I gave you just a snippet of, and the parable in the gospel, are all about productivity. In a real way, these lessons today push us toward an understanding of stewardship. We are in that season. Next Sunday is our stewardship luncheon, a faithful use of what the Lord has provided. We say it time and time again, we're called to be stewards, stewards of our lives, and to give of ourselves in the name of the Lord as ministers of Jesus Christ. We are to share ourselves and our time and our possessions, which are all signs of God's gracious love. Giving grows out of loving, and loving comes from God. We know love because God first loved us. We have known love, and so we love. And giving is our response to that love. And our giving, as you may know this, makes things happen. Around the block, around the world, mouths are fed, spirits are nurtured, wells are dug, bodies are healed, lives are changed, all because we give, all because we love. We produce sweet grapes. All of us know about sour grapes, though, don't we? People give us a hard time. We get resentful. We want to strike back. And that sourness is reflected in our attitudes and the way we live with others. What are those wild grapes in the first lesson? First of all, they are an active disobedience. They are a refusal to supply what is expected and what is just. Even more importantly, they are a sign of self-denial of one's identity and mission as a child of God. To bear wild grapes when one is born and bred to yield something better actually means abandoning who we are and where we came from, our origin and our identity. But the production of wild grapes is not only an offense against ourselves, it is an offense against God, who has done everything possible for us. It is to echo the lament of Isaiah. We betrayed God's love. As Matthew points out, it is to walk on all of God's expressions of love and affection. We who are most beloved choose to become an enemy. I heard a story about sour grapes that has stuck with me. It seems a seminary professor was noted for elaborate object lessons. And one day, as students entered the classroom, they knew something was up. So on the wall was a big target, and on a nearby table were many darts. And their first thought was, this is really going to be fun. So the professor told the students to draw a picture of someone they disliked or someone who made them angry. And then the students would be allowed to throw darts at that person's picture. One drew a picture of someone who had stolen away a girlfriend. Another drew a picture of a little brother. Another drew a picture of a former friend, complete with lots of pimples on their face. The class lined up and began throwing darts with much laughter. Some of the students threw so hard that the paper ripped. And finally, the professor asked his students to return to their seats, and then the professor began removing the target itself from the wall. Underneath the target was a picture of Jesus. A complete hush fell over the room as each student viewed the mangled image of Jesus. Holes and jagged marks covered his face, and his eyes were pierced. And the professor said only these words from Matthew 25, verse 40. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my people, you have done it to me. Those wild sour grapes are dangerous. Matthew's parable was aimed at those who had rejected Jesus, and he said the wild grapes would be rejected by God, but the story could just as easily be directed at us. Pharisees could be replaced by the word Lutheran or Presbyterian or Episcopalian or United Methodist or United Church of Christ. Therefore, God's word is addressed to God's people of all time. This parable is meant for us to shake us out of our comfort zone. We've got a lot of people today who think they've really got God in a box. They have all the answers and they condemn anyone with a different point of view. The vineyard is theirs, they think. Justice then becomes, if that's the way that you view the world, do it my way, or you are damned to hell because I've got all the answers given to me directly by God. I am God's agent in Bedford, Texas, or Hearst, or Euless, or wherever you find yourself. I believe that is arrogance. It subverts the message of God's love and charity and distorts God's calls to ends which do not grow naturally out of the vine. So I'm suggesting that this parable speaks today to hate and anger, to xenophobia of anti-immigrant legislation and such sensibilities, mistreatment of Arab Americans, those of a different sexual orientation, and a whole range of unloving attitudes. When we live as if we have arrived as compared to others, we're in deep trouble. When we live as if we have no further distance to travel on our own spiritual path, we begin to build up intolerance. We need to strive toward the goal of making Christ known. The truth is that the kingdom of God cannot be stopped. No amount of wild grapes or wicked tenets can destroy it, nor can it be destroyed by any refusal of church members to produce the proper fruit. The question is whether or not we will continue on the journey to which we have been joined. The everlasting kingdom always will belong to someone, if not us, then someone more fruitful, someone more faithful. That's not a threat, it's a fact. The key to producing good fruit is to stay connected and rooted in God. It's a responsibility to bear good fruit such as love of neighbor and justice and a spirit of generosity and good stewardship of God's blessings. Now let's make this very real right here in our own hometown. What is the vineyard referred to where you live? What are the good fruits? What are the wild and sour grapes? What about the tendency to regard something that you've had for a long time as yours and that it belongs to you? When people are born in church and baptized and raised up and confirmed and married and so forth, they refer to the church as their church. This could translate into an unwillingness to welcome newcomers and new leaders and new pastors with new visions. You might think of this in terms of the parable of the vineyard. We need to remember the property owner. We tenants have to remember that we aren't just working for ourselves. As for your specific church, as the vineyard, as a pleasant planting, I have to say this. Christ is calling us to be fruitful with love and generous with God's gifts and good stewards of the opportunity to labor for the Lord, and people will come to the doors to experience the true sense of God's peace. Here's an image of what it means to be grace-filled rather than self-filled. There are two C's in Palestine. The Jordan River flows into both of them. Around the first sea, there is lush vegetation. There are fish in the sea. Children run and play, and families picnic there. People live nearby, and the air is fresh and sweet. It is a place of beauty and refreshment. Around the second sea, there are no bushes, no trees, no vegetation at all. There are no fish in the sea, and there are no picnics. An odor hangs in the air, and although people visit this sea, they don't live near it. The first sea receives the waters of the Jordan River, and as much water as flows into it, that much water flows out. It shares what it has gotten, and life is enriched. The second sea hoards for itself all that it receives. It only takes and doesn't give. Nothing is shared. It exists only for itself. The first sea is the Sea of Galilee, and it is a beautiful and wonderful place. The second sea is the Dead Sea. And it is so filled with what it has held onto for itself that it cannot support itself. It is full of itself. So the question is, what kind of sea do we resemble? I say this day, bear good fruit. Be generous with the blessings God has provided in the vineyard you call your life. Push on with all you've got toward the prize of God's invitation to the high road in Jesus Christ. Then there won't be any sour grapes, just a beautiful life offered to the Lord. Can you imagine what this world might be? What it might look like, what it might feel like, what it would be like to live in a world like that where there are no more sour grapes and abundance and life giving and nourishing your own but someone else's. Let us pray. Lord of the harvest, we thank you for the richness of the soul and soil of our lives that can cause a crop of faithfulness to abound. Your generosity exceeds our wildest hopes. We ask you to continue to bless the efforts of those who faithfully tend the vineyard and produce sweet grapes. Bless all of us with the dignity to dig into the world and plant the seeds of your love as we engage in the cultivation of your forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Cause us to be encouraging and responsible and, most of all, Lord, productive. The Gospel. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.